Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone on a almost spring day, which they would say, of the beginning of April, because we are officially in spring, and we're looking for some lovely days, and my hope is that for all of you folks that are locked in, that you can find some place to maybe get outside, even if you don't have a car. Maybe you can have a friend that has a car, that if you're sitting in the back seat or doing something like that, so that you don't, that you're 6 feet away from them. Or I know that the parks in many of the cities are shut down right now, and I know that that's really, really hard. But if you can, anyway, even if it's one day a week or something, that you can just somehow get out of your space and get outside, because believe it or not, spring is slowly starting to bud around, and if nothing else, it's going to make you feel really good if you can do that. Now, I know there's certain people in certain circumstances. I know in New York and the city has been really, really hard for everybody. But I don't know if anybody has been seeing any of the new kind of very, very special things that go on. But there's a thing that goes on at 7 o'clock every night in New York City where everybody goes out to the window, or if they have terraces, they go out to their terraces, and they yell out wonderful things to their neighbors and to the firemen and to all the helpers and the nurses. I think it's a quite amazing thing, which is so cool and so typical of New Yorkers. And if you don't have a terrace, or if you're in a big building, if you get a chance to go out, there's a lot of them have rooftops where you can go and not be with other people. So just if you can, I know that this is a very, very, very difficult time for everybody, but hang in there, because it is for now, it won't be forever. And in the meantime, we just got to, keep our thoughts in our prayers, and certainly a tremendous amount of that to the people that are risking their lives and their families to do all these amazing things that they're doing. But I have total faith that those that know what to do are doing it well, and that they're just making this difficult thing that's going on really quite amazing, because there's some amazing people out there who do very, very amazing things. So I have a guest for the show. She's going to be a few minutes late. So what I decided to do is I decided to take advantage of here at this moment, and I may start. There are several people on the line that want messages. Of course, if they wait to the end, they will, they may have a better chance of getting in. But I think I might take a call while we're here, and let's just see who's on the line here. Let's see. Hello. Hi. Good evening. You're on the air with Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Who's this?
Hi.
Yes.
This is Debbie. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, you're very, very welcome, Debbie. You're very, very welcome. You sound like you're in outer space, but that's okay. Or under the water. I don't know if it's your cell phone or whatever you're on.
I'm outside looking at the water.
Okay, so you're doing exactly some of the things that I've told everybody that they can do, and obviously you're doing that, and you're feeling safe doing that, and I'm sure that it's probably a wonderful thing to be doing if you can do like that. That's what I was just urging anybody that could do any of that, because spring is here and it's a wonderful feeling, and anything you can do right now during the situation to make yourself feel good is a quite wonderful thing here. Just real quick here before you wanted me to talk to, but I will take that moment to do a real quick plug here. I have women are coming up April the 14th at 7 o'clock, and it's called Your Intuitive Self During This Crisis. And so we'll be talking about a whole lot of things. We'll be talking about everything happens for a reason, the mind-body-soul connection. I'll be doing a walk-through meditation of connecting with your loved ones. So it should be pretty, pretty cool. It's 1995, can't beat that. And I've been asked to do this for a really long time, and this sort of was an impetus for me to do that. So with all of that saying, how can I help you out tonight, Debbie?
Well, I saw you when you were in Tampa. You are amazing, and I'm just so happy to be able to have this opportunity. I was hoping just to get a message from my dad. I am missing him so much right now. I'm worried about my kids and I, you know, just being okay. So a message from him would be amazing.
Well, I'm going to say that that's certainly something that Daddy's going to be on the case with, okay? That I'm going to tell you. So that's sort of like an understatement. But I want to ask one thing about your dad, Debbie. Was his name passed down to him, or was his name passed down to somebody else in the family?
His name.
I'm hearing double sounds, and usually when I hear double sounds, it usually means it's the first or middle passed down. So I don't know if he's talking about his name being passed down.
My son's name was passed down.
I thought it was connected to one of your children, because when you talked about your children and you said you mentioned that, I was going to say your daddy was saying, "Yeah, I got a plug."
Yes.
He got a plug, so he's very, very pleased about that. So that's his way, obviously, Debbie, of letting you know that he's around. And I tell people that, you know, we are never alone, and we're certainly never alone in circumstances in our lives where our loved ones know what we're going through, because, you know, they went through their own things while they were here. And if he didn't, I bet his parents went through the depression during that time. So, you know, they know the deal, and they know what to do for the people that we are here, because, you know, love never dies, and just because he's out of his body, I can assure you that he is very much around you. I'm going to ask you one other quick thing here that I'm hearing from him, is that, do you know why I'm hearing, like, Francis or St. Francis or something like that?
No.
Yes. Do you know if there's anybody connected to him with the name Frank or Francis or something like that?
Yes, my father-in-law is Frank.
Got it. So is your father-in-law still here?
He is, yes.
Living?
He's still here.
Okay, so it's interesting.
Yes,
that's
living.
Your father, obviously, and I want to say he's obviously honoring your father-in-law, because he would be the grandfather to the children. Am I correct on that?
Yes.
Okay. So, and let's hope he's the great grandpa, because your daddy ain't here in body, but he's around, and so somebody else has got to sort of step into that plate.
Yeah, they do.
So, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes. So, you have a great night, Debbie. Take care. Be well.
Thank you.
Don't worry. You're in good hands. You just took this moment out by the water, and you'll get through this.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay. So, let's see. Okay. So I think we're going to try to open up the line here to our new guest. Hello. Hi. This is Suzanne. Is this Dr. Debbie?
Hi.
James?
Yes, it's Drayvon James. How are you today?
I am very well, my dear. And how are you?
I'm wonderful.
Good. Well, I kind of, you know, I mean, when I scheduled you for the show, I mean, I always, you know, I always go through my guests very, very, you know, specifically. Always want guests that, you know, that leave, like, wonderful messages for the world, and Everyday Peace is kind of appropriate for a lot to sort of like going on here, and so I'm going to have you use some of your words to Weston of wisdom. Now, for folks that are calling in on the lines, I'll be able to get back to you toward the end of the show for messages and things of that sort, but we're going to welcome our guest. Dr. Drayvon James is the founder of Everyday Peace and the author of Freedom is Your Birthright. She's a motivational speaker, and her goal is to educate, empower, inspire others to build the life of their dreams, no matter what shows up in their life, good, bad, or other ways. What a nice journey. And obviously you didn't have an easy one. You were on the south side of Chicago, and you had, you know, like in life, sometimes we think we're going to go down one road and we end up going down another road. But I seem to think that the one that you picked is probably a great one, because it sounds like you've had, you know, a wonderful career. And I would say anybody in the medical career right now is probably inundated a little bit and trying to keep above board. But I love this idea of everyday peace, and I like that the idea of freedom being is your birthright. Quite wonderful in the idea of some of the smaller gifts and boats that you talked about it. And so we'll talk about a little bit about, you know, but sort of, I mean, we always end up in a place, Trevon, for a reason. And obviously you had some difficult things along the way. I knew you were inspired by Norman Vincent Peale, Power of Positive Thinking. Are you aware of Catherine Kuhlman as well, by chance?
No, Catherine, say the last name again. I don't think so.
Okay, so the Catherine Kuhlman, there's also Catherine Ponder. And Catherine Ponder was actually around, almost around the same time as Norman Vincent Peale. And she's a really, really interesting woman. I think some of her stuff you'd really, really be interested in, because she has a whole lot of books on all of the things that you're basically talking about. But interesting, you might want to like sort of check her out. I have to get her some of her names of books off the top of my head, and I will do that while you're talking. Okay, so I said, I know you wanted to do one thing in your life, ended up doing up with a pharmacist, and I know that you had, like a lot of people, you know, not a great marriage, but you ended up now having a great marriage and now having wonderful children along the line. And you even got to be on The Wire, which I'm sure is a pretty cool show. One of my favorite people is on that show, Idris. So, love him. How do you not love him, right? So,
yes.
Anyway, so how did you get from that? And I mean, I don't know if, you know, I'm sure that obviously, you know, Mr. Peale obviously influenced you to sort of do that. But that sounds a little different than how you broke away from this sense of freedom being your birthright, and how, and I totally agree with you, by the way, that there are a lot of books written by experts. And sometimes you're right, not everybody can read old books. sometimes the smaller ones that have a lot more packed, detailed information or simpler information are sometimes even, I think, even more helpful to us. So anyway, and I like the sense of, you know, from youth to innocence and how we get from one place to another. So share a little bit of your story with us.
Yes, thank you so much for that. And I'm the same way. We could all go on and pontificate for thousands and thousands of pages. But the idea for me was to go to the heart of the matter really quickly with people. And I love the concept of a tiny book, because it really appeals to me. You can read it in one setting and get what you need and then go back and refer to it. But people always ask me, my goodness, how did you make this transition to, you know, become an inspirational speaker and become an actor? And I said, really, it's the other way around, is that I was those things. And I can remember very early on in my life, at the age of, when I was in the third grade, however, I auditioned for my first play, and I fell in love with it. And I then went on to do some theater in my town and got written up by theater critics. And I was really loving that part of life, and knowing that I wanted to do that. But when the rubber hit the road and I had to make a decision about what to go to college for, I was advised to be sensible, that a girl like me, coming from the financial background that I came from, it wasn't very sensible that I would pursue my passion. And gosh, you know, it came from a loving place. It came from a loving place, and it came also from a place of fear, right? Because, you know, people who told me that really didn't want me to end up having the type of start that I had. And so I appreciate that. And I followed that wisdom. And I also appreciate the fact that it was so much in me that that's what I was going to do. It never went dormant. I was always trying to figure out how to do it. But when I had my daughter, who's now just about to turn 20, I looked at her. She wasn't even 6 months old, and I said, I cannot convince her to follow her dreams if I don't follow mine. So that's why I went back and I did the acting. But the inspirational speaking, and I didn't really even have a name for it, that never left me. When I read that book, The Power of Positive Thinking, I knew, I said, whatever just happened for me in this book, whatever Norman Vincent Peale did for me, whatever door he opened up inside of my mind, my soul, and my heart, I want to do that for people, to let them know that you're not a victim of your circumstances. Your circumstances have come to bow down and to serve you and to convince you that you are who you say you are. You are who you believe you are. You are who you know you are, even if nobody else can see it, right? And so so I started doing that, writing and reading everything I could get my hands on. That started after I was 17, 18 years old, and I continued that journey. But I didn't have the courage to actually speak out on it as much as I wanted to. Like, I do little talks here and there, but eventually I got the courage to say, you know what, this is really helping me. This is really helping me, and I really wanted to help somebody else. And I kind of started speaking out on it at some of my pharmacy talks. I finished the talk off by saying, okay, I want to give you guys a little tip for peace in your everyday life, and it kind of blossomed from there. But it was that first and then pharmacy later, you know, but pharmacy just looks like it came first.
Right, right. I like the quote, which is, it's so true, that both internal and external are forever entwined.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really powerful, because I think that, I think that because of all the things that you're talking about, much of us, many people live in the compartments of their mind or the compartments of their lives. And they don't always realize that, you know, it's not the mind, the body, or the soul. It's the mind, body, and the soul.
So right.
They are all connected. So, you know, this, what you're talking about is exactly, you're right. You have to have, you know, both of them are forever connected. I mean, they're, you know, we really aren't, you know, it's like, you know, when, I mean, you know, as somewhat being a pharmacist, you're obviously somewhat in the medical field, but you know that you can't heal one part of the body without healing another part of the body, or you can't heal part of the body without healing the mind and the spirit, because they're intertwined with each other. And so everything that you're talking about, you're talking about is exactly that, you know, in your passion, which obviously you had great passion to challenge yourself and you know, go forth, which is what you did, and you know, create the life that you created for yourself. So the thing is that what you're saying is that, you know, he was this major inspiration for you, but what you did is you didn't just read the book, you started to obviously start living that in your life. Am I correct on that? That's how you got from B to C to D. And
yes, let me tell you how much I started living. I can remember that I read that book so many times, but when I first read it, I went back, I took all these notes. My notes were more massive than the book, right? I had all these notes. And just how I was going to, you have to remember, when I read that book, I was just getting ready to leave for college for the first time. And during that college stint, little did I know I was going to endure another stint of homelessness. But it was the principles in that book that I held on to so much, and I knew, like I knew, that if I followed this, if I made this my way of thinking, my way of believing, and then even more than that, my way of knowing things and perceiving things, that I'd reach my next level of greatness. And, you know, the pursuit of peace is an active journey. It's not passive. It is something that you've got to engage in. You've got, you know, it's one thing to sit back and know that it's possible, but you've got to be willing to get in the water and swim with it, if you will. I remember reading a quote one day that talked about, no one can learn how to swim from reading a book. You're going to have to get in the water. You got to get wet. And that's the same thing with living a life of peace. You know, wholeness, completeness, nothing missing, nothing broken, totality is going to involve you getting in there and saying, you know what, I'm not going to try to compartmentalize my life. I realize that this is a round journey. And whatever's shown up, it's shown up to bow down and serve me so I can create my next level of greatness.
Right, because there really is no beginning and no end in reality. You know, it's a circle. And the thing is that in that circle, it's like I learned a long time ago. Actually, this person was how people teach you things just by how they are. But I remember this person many years ago. It was like in my 20s when I knew her, and it was like she said well life is going to get better when we get there, or life is going to get better than when we get there. And it's just like you're never getting there because it's a continuum. It's like it's impossible to get anywhere because it's ongoing. It's like life's moving. Life is not stagnant. I mean, and even when it is stagnant, there's elements within it still moving. So there is no end, no beginning. It is a continuum. But that was a great teacher for me because it was like this person was always, complaining. And I'm sure you've met them in your life. We've all met them in our lives. That, they're complaining about their lives, but meanwhile, they're not doing anything to make the changes.
Yeah.
They'd rather, complain as they say.
You're so right about that. You're complaining about, and that is, so you have to realize, too, even with ourselves, like, is this all I want in this moment is an audience to hear me complain, right? Or do I want to move from point A to point B? And is this thing that I'm complaining about, could this thing that I'm complaining about possibly be the catalyst? Am I supposed to be upset enough about whatever this is that I catapult to the next level? Because it's shown up for some reason, and it's probably not so that we could just have miserable conversation, right?
Oh, absolutely. Because everything happens for a reason. That's why I wrote the book. I mean, so you're absolutely right. So you talk about how we get lured away from our passion as we age, which is really true, because as people age, they're much more reluctant to take risks. They're much more reluctant to, they get set in their ways. That's what that's about. And then you're right. Then they have lost their passion, as you said, to do something that they may want to do in their life. I mean, there's a real realism thing in certain, obviously in certain ages, in the age of, 60, you're probably not going to become an Olympic swimmer, but you could probably, really learn to swim really well or do laps or improve yourself physically if you wish to do that. So how does somebody, Dr. DeBond, how does somebody get to the point where they really need to rekindle their passions?
Oh, I love this question because I want to say this. A lot of times we do believe that, some kind of way my passion slipped away from me. But oftentimes if we really sit back and think about it, and this was true in my life as well, is that we trade our passion for trinkets, right? So we'll say, okay, I'm really passionate about acting. I'll just use myself. But I'll trade my passion for, six-figure salary today so that I'll be comfortable. And before you know it,
right,
your foot slips, and you're all the way in this thing, and you're 30 years in, and your passion is still standing on the curb looking at you, right?
You're absolutely right. Yes, you're absolutely right. I've talked about that very much. I say, if that passion's not happening, then you got to find it somewhere in your life. So if you've chosen to not do that, and as a result of that, it gives you money so that you can have the children that you love and take care of them the way that you want to, then you have to – there's a reason why you're doing that, yes?
Yes. And you find your happiness there, but wherever you are. But I have to say this: if you really have, and there are many people like this, who really have a burning desire that it won't go away. It's been 30, 40 years, what have you. It won't go away. You have to honor yourself in that moment. You honor yourself. You don't beat yourself up and say, "Oh my goodness, how could it? Why didn't I?" Because that's the wrong energy. You honor yourself for being the type of person who was willing to do what looked like the smart, mature thing at the time, right? You honor yourself. And that when you honor yourself, you stop having an internal fight with yourself. Because the fight looks like this. No, we should stay here is the adult thing to do. It's the mature thing to do. It's the family thing to do. And the other side of you is saying, well, you know what? You're giving up on yourself. And so you're having this constant fight. Instead of just standing right there in the middle and saying, I honor you. I honor you for the decisions that you have made. And I'm so excited that I could still be this passionate about something.
So I want
you
to keep that thought.
I
want you to keep that thought. We're going to take a quick break. But I know that that's one of the things that you talk an awful lot about daily, and I know you've discussed this. We will discuss this. You talk about daily the words, because we all know that there's a lot of power in words. We all know that one. And there's some words I know that in your book that you talk about that you say daily. So we're going to take a quick break. My special guest is Dr. Devon James. The book is called Everyday Peace. And she's also the author of Freedom is Your Birth. She's actually the founder of Everyday Peace, I correct myself, and the author of Freedom is Your Birthright. We're going to take a few minutes, and we'll be right back after this break.
This is Suzanne's website, www.suzannenorthrup.com, for all the latest news, calendar, and for any events. You can also sign up for her newsletter at www.suzannenorthrup.com. That's SUZANENORTHROP.
Welcome back. Again, my special guest is Dr. Javon James. And I just have to tell you this, that, yes, it's Catherine Ponder, by the way, and she happens to still be alive. She's 93 years old, and she is an amazing woman. I think you would, like, really love her stuff. But she talks about, you know, yes, it's called Open Your Mind to Prosperity, Prosperity of Power, the Dynamic Laws of Healing, the Dynamic Laws, you know, the riches of the Bible. She's really, really a really interesting woman, way, way ahead of her time. And I don't know, I can't remember, and the author of the Dialogues of Dynamic Laws of Prosperity, Dynamic Laws of Healing, she really, really is quite special. And I don't know what her time was with her and Peel. I mean, I think he was a few years older than her, but she was around at the same time. But yeah, she's still alive. She's 93 years old, which I think is kind of really interesting. But yes, you
wow.
I think you would really, really dig some of her stuff as sort of well. So back to the question of what I wanted you to ask before we came back to. So.
Yeah. So we're talking about how to get that passion back. And the first thing I want to say is we're talking about, you know, word power and honoring yourself. And that's so very important, because when we dishonor ourselves with our words, you know, putting ourselves down about waiting so long, or how could we be so stupid, or whatever, we utilize the wrong energy. And that type of energy, what it does is it provokes the ego. And the ego wants to defend us, and so we get all confused, and our creativity goes down, and we can't figure out how to make our life work. So instead, once you realize that, yeah, there's still a little spark here, and I see, you know, or even if you don't know there's a little spark there, and you're willing to discover it, honor yourself with the journey that you've been on. And then with your words, go ahead and bless your life, bless your intention, and bless your journey by saying, I'm open to exploring my passions. I'm open for that. And immediately sometimes what shows up for people is that, oh, well, you can't do that. As you said, you know, you're whatever years old, you can't be an Olympic swimmer anymore, or, you know, your eyesight is failing you, you can't knit or crochet like you wanted to before, you can't make that cook that you want, whatever it is. But if you will continually bless your life with your words by honoring where you've been, you'll be surprised that out of nowhere, creativity will start, the energy will change, because we're all just energy. I think you said that earlier. We're all just energy, right? The energy will change, right? Because you are now going to start vibrating at a different level, right? So the energy changes, and just opportunities that fit in with whatever's going on with your life. Or you'll find this. Organically, certain doors will just start to close, and other doors will start to open. And you'll look up, and you'll be standing in the face of your passion. But you've got to pursue it. And the way you pursue it first is with honoring yourself and using the words to support your life. It's not so much with the do, and that's the more disciplined doing, too, because if you tell someone, oh, I want you to dig a ditch to put a swimming pool in, they can get out there and they can start shoveling snow, shoveling dirt and moving the dirt around, right? But before you can build the swimming pool, you've got to have a belief. And then after that belief, you've got to have a knowing. So if we start there, then all the labor part is easy. All the labor part is easy. So we do this awareness, we do this honoring ourselves with our words, and then the opportunities, the creativity to create the opportunities organically starts to flow from within.
Well, we know that that's true because that's going on right now. Look what these people are doing. It's amazing. It's just amazing, amazing people. I mean, putting their lives on the line, you know, with you know, leaving their families at home. And they're just, you know, they're going, they're not doing this because of their job. This is like who they are. This is the passion. This is why they're here. They're here to serve. And
yes.
They're very, very, very clear about that process. And I like what you said about, and I think that this is really, really true, and I don't think everybody thinks about this, but I like that by the fact that if you're not pursuing your dreams, you're actually depriving your family, your communities, and the world of those dreams, because we're not here by a random roll of the dice. That's a fact. And by you not doing it, it's like I don't want to stay with this person because I don't want to hurt them. But you are hurting them because you're really not there for them. You're really, you know, that's not a reason to stay with somebody, you know. But I like that because you're making the connection with everybody who's in your life is all part of that.
Yes. Yes. Because your dream is so much bigger than you. And, you know, and I tell people, I tell myself, there's a reason that I was able to get back into acting so assertively is because of my daughter. When I looked at her and I said, oh, my gosh, I'll never be able to tell this little girl to follow her dreams if I don't follow mine. So, and I wanted to lead by example. I wanted her to know that the sky is the limit. It may not be easy. It may not be handed to you on a silver platter. It doesn't mean that it's not obtainable. You can still go for it because, and that's so she's in my direct immediate circle, right? But what you'll be so surprised of is that people who are not even necessarily intimately connected to you, right, benefit from knowing that you did it. One other person with a similar circumstance did it. Whatever the it is, it could be something as small as learning to drive. I talked to a lady years ago. She was in her 50s, and she never learned to drive, and she was learning to drive, and she always wanted to. Now, we say, oh, that's not a big deal. It's 2020. Who doesn't drive? It's a big deal for the person who's never done it. And
Right. Of course.
Right, and that simple act, simple to us, not so simple to her, but learning to drive at that age gave someone else a belief that, well, I'm not too old to learn something new. Maybe they don't want to learn how to drive, but just the fact is you took on something new at that age. Our life is bigger than just us. It's bigger than us. It is about us. You know, I reject it. People say, oh, life is not about you. Sure, it is about you. You're just as important as the next person. But it's just bigger than that, because your success, your happiness, and however you define success, however you define happiness,
not how the world defines it, will impact someone else's level of courage in taking the first step to pursuing their dream. So, yes, of course, if you can't do it for yourself, do it for somebody else.
Right, and there is actually, as we're seeing, you know, is that, you know, people didn't think we were a global world. I believe now people believe we are a global world, and it is a ripple effect. And if you didn't believe it, that if you were under some kind of a rock and you didn't believe that, if you didn't believe it now, then you really don't believe that we're in a global world. We are most definitely in a global, and everything is energetically connected. So you're right. When you see somebody that you where they've come from, and you see like where they have, you know, so people they sometimes, you know, see what you got, but they don't see what you went through to get there in terms of, and I don't mean materially, I mean just, you know, from writing a book to, you know, to being able to speak in front of an audience, or as you said, learning to drive a car. They don't see they just see, you know, what it is. They don't know what there was a process in doing that, and how in that doing that, you're right, there's a ripple effect, and you saw that with having a daughter, that in terms of your own life.
Absolutely. And and here's the thing, I talk to a lot of people, and I get this a lot, and I'd like to just talk for a minute on it. People believe that, oh, when I do a certain thing, whatever that certain thing is, I won't feel fear anymore, or I won't feel lonely anymore, or I will feel totally... Mm-hmm. These human emotions will be with us for as long as we're human, right? I like to think of emotions like a rainbow. There's a lot of emotions in there, and a healthy person is going to experience all of them, right? So it's not like you're going to get to a point in your life and say, oh, well, I've done 5 new things this year. I will never feel a fear or bashful again. Of course you will, if that's part of your makeup. But it's okay. You can do these things. The thing that you desire to do, you'll be able to do it, even if you're fearful, even if you're bashful, even if you have any other type of personality thing that's going on. If you're lonely, you'll do it. You may feel that emotion, but it will lessen. It may never go away completely. Stop waiting for the ideal situation.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And when we become fearful, those things they hit you back in the face again. It's like, okay, I recognize this. This is back.
Right, exactly.
This
is
back. So it's another opportunity, time to deal with it. Yes. Yes. Yeah,
and that's the lesson in all of it that we can share with people. It's like, you know, oh, I wish I could be as courageous as you. It's like, oh, no. I cried myself, you know, you can say, you know, I cried before I get on the stage. And I remember when I do a lot of theater, and I remember reading something about this person, and they were talking about how they would, you know, get really ill before they went out on stage. And that's never been my issue, but it was comforting to read that. I'm like, oh, my gosh, you're such a big theater actor. I can't believe that. But it gave me comfort to know that these butterflies or whatever you're feeling, they're part of the human process. Don't let it stop you. You're supposed to use that energy.
So you're the founder of Everyday Peace. And is this, and so as being a founder of Everyday Peace, is this part of you being a motivational speaker? I know you're into educating, inspiring others to live their dreams. That I good, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. So is that part of your foundation or of Everyday Peace?
I like to say I have the simplest mission statement known to mankind. But my mission is just to teach, to model, and for people how to live a life of wholeness, how to use everything that shows up in your life, because this is what I've had to do, how to use everything that shows up in your life, the good, the bad, the in-between, use all of that and create a stepping stone, a building block, so that you can consciously develop the life of your dreams, your next level of greatness. And so that's the whole premise of Everyday Peace, is wholeness, completeness, nothing missing, nothing broken, totality. We use everything, even those things people say, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm going to take that heartache or whatever's happened, that disappointment, and I want to shove it in the drawer. Say, no, we can use that. We're going to use it. If heartache shows up, that's what we're using today. You know, we're making soup with heartache. So whatever it is, we're going to throw it in the pot, make gumbo of it, and we're going to help you to design your beautiful life. And it really takes focus, focusing and becoming aware of who you are and loving yourself in that space.
You're right. It's you know, I always sort of, you know, share my with my you know, with my audience, and my, you know, which I have a great audience, is that, you know, it's like if somebody has said something to you, because, you know, we all know, you know, words, people don't tell me, don't say that words aren't powerful. They're damn powerful, because you remember them, of something that was said to you when you were 7 or 8 or 10 years old, and that sort of, like, stays with you. And what you're saying is how you take that and somehow you can turn that around to make work for you. Otherwise, you'll stay in that. You'll stay in it your whole life because it's always there. It doesn't go away. It's just you've got to figure out how to make it work for yourself.
That is absolutely so right, because you're right. Words are so powerful. People will forget a lot of things, but they won't forget how your words made them feel. And so so the beautiful thing
one of our favorite people on earth. For those of you who don't know who we're talking about, she's still with us, but just not in body.
Yes.
Kate Burson.
Oh my goodness, yes. So we have to take those words and say, okay, this is what you meant to do. And I love, there is a phrase in the Bible that says, what you meant for harm, God meant for good, right? And so how I take that is to say, you may have used that word or that phrase or that criticism in such a way that you thought it was going to destroy me. Now here is where I'm free. This is where I must practice my freedom. I can partner with you and say, yes, I'm going to let that destroy me. I'm going to let your opinion of me destroy me. Or I can say, you know what, you did say that about me. Let me take that for a moment, and I'm going to use that statement, that fuel, to help me, to catapult me to the next level. I'll never forget. It's a quick story. I had gone to pharmacy school, and my first semester, and it was hard and it was rigorous. And I was a little girl from a little town who, you know, at this time I was living in Massachusetts, still not doing well financially. And I worked at a cleaner's before I went away to college. So I came home for that semester, and everyone at the cleaner said, "Oh, we knew you wouldn't make it." You know, and when I walked in, you know, just to say hi, they said, "Oh, we knew you wouldn't make it. You want your old job back?" And I used that to say, wow, I thought they were rooting for me. I thought they would be so excited for me to be trying to push myself ahead. But instead of letting their opinion of me, you know, I'm sure I must have been just a little raggedy mess, you know, but instead of letting their opinion of me and their doubt of me, instead of me internalizing it and partnering with them, I use that to say, no, I will not fail. I thank you for giving me that little mountain of dirt to stand on to reach my next level.
We can use
everything.
Yes. Again, my guest is Dr. Devon James, Everyday Peace, and the author of Freedom is Your Birthright. I want you to, so there's a few other things that I want you to sort of like share with the audience about, you know, some of the small books that you talked about. And also, you know, I know you have a radio show. Let's talk about how people can listen into your radio show. When is it? I know it's actually before my show. That's why we were a little late tonight. But anyway, let's have you talk about it. This is Suzanne Arthur of Blog Talk Radio. And I just want to keep you guys reminding me that I do got a webinar coming up, Your Intuitive Self During Crisis, April the 14th. It's 1995. Go to my webpage. Check it out. And I've been wanting to do this for a while, and finally, you know, with enough emails and inspiration from folks that really wanted me to do it, I'm gonna, you know, just go ahead and go ahead and do it. So that's the deal on that. So we're gonna take another quick break, and we'll be back in a moment.
This is Suzanne's website, www.suzannenorthrup.com, for all the latest news, calendar, and for any events. You can also sign up for her newsletter at www.suzannenorthrup.com. That's SUZANENORTHROP.
Welcome back with Suzanne and my special guest, Dr. Devon James, Everyday Peace, which is her founder of, and she's the author of Freedom Is Your Right. And I'm going to have everybody find out how they can get in touch with you or listen to your radio show. And I do got some calls. I don't know if we'll get to them, but there's a 510-276 and whatever. So first of all, talk to us about when your show is on.
Oh, wonderful, yes. So my show is entitled Everyday Peace with Dr. Drayvon James, and we meet every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's a one-hour show, and it's a live show. We bring guests on. Today we had a guest, Nana Kwabena, who is an African spiritual priest, and he was talking about spirituality and religion as it relates to love and kindness and accepting that we are all one. So it's really good. We do a lot of the program is really designed, the show is designed for the purpose of bringing on guests that help us to connect to our true self, the oneness in us, and knowing that we are all capable of living in a life of peace, wholeness, completeness, nothing missing, nothing broken, even if there appears to be chaos in the external world. So we're every Monday, and we're on the Unity Online Radio Network, which is www.unityonlineradio.org.
And they can obviously go to either your website or to see the, you know, I'm sure you, like me, you list, you know, the people that are going to be coming on your show, what your show is going to be about.
Yeah.
As well as people that want to, you know, get some of your books of the small quote things, which I think are actually quite nice. Share a few of those with us.
Wait, so let me just say this. I post my website does not have all of the radio information on there. I would that it would have it all on there. I'm not great at updating it, and I need to get someone who can help me with that. But if you go on the unityonlineradio.org, you'll see my whole lineup for the month, all the guests that are going to be on, and you can listen to all the archive shows. There have been some tremendous shows. So the book, I only have one book out now, which is Freedom is Your Birthright. I'm working on my second book, which is Forgiveness, which is so very important. And I do post, I try to post at least once a week, motivational and encouraging things to people, just little things to make us, you know, kind of go, aha, I knew that already, because honestly, you do know these things. It's just somebody comes along and rattles your cage a little bit because we fall asleep. You know, we're in this matrix, if you will, and we tend to fall asleep easily, and we start, which means that we go into this like coma state. We just become robotic. People are complaining, so we complain. Things, you know, things aren't going out right, so we accept that, and we accept it as the norm. We forget that we are powerful. And so I try to do that with little small quotations just to jar people and wake people up. I've been doing a lot of lives here lately, which is nice since we had the corona virus. It just going on and doing live events over my Facebook and page and posting them on LinkedIn and things of that nature, just to remind people that we are in this together. And together, when we emerge, we'll all be brand new. Won't that be amazing?
I have no question about it. No question about it.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, I mean, again, I believe everything happens for a reason, even of what we're going through right now. And I think that, you know, when you go through things of you know, tragedies, you see that there becomes a combining of the community and the need for that connection and what that's sort of all about.
and it's true. I mean, I know I was talking earlier about, you know, in New York about what the things that they do at 7 o'clock at night. Now everybody goes out on the terrace or out to their windows and yells out, you know, to their neighbors and thanking all the bus drivers on the buses and the subways and the trains and the firemen and all, you know, all the wonderful things that they are sort of like doing. So it's really quite wonderful. And then of course you know that there's probably a lot of elderly in a lot of the buildings and the condos, and they people, they can't get out or they can't get groceries or they can't. So you know, people are doing all that for everybody. So you know, it's New York is like a microcosm in a lot of ways of the world because it's got the world in it, and everybody just, you know, knows we went through 9/11 together, and it was not a lot of fun. And you know, we're doing it again, and obviously New York is in the very, very difficult space right now, and Chicago obviously as well is not doing it either. But it's during these times that it does force us to understand our connection to, you know, humankind and humankindness, and on our connection that we are really intertwined. You know, these things that, you know, they keep saying it doesn't, it's not divided by a state. It's certainly not.
country, right? We're all in this together.
We're all in this together. Yes, and that's why I think that, you know, a lot of what you're talking about here, of you know, the everyday peace, but not only that, the everyday peace, but how this is one of those times that if you wanted to help somebody in a certain way, and you couldn't figure out how you could do it. Bang, you've now got a phenomenal opportunity. You know, they say that, you know, well, every year I say I'm going to go, you know, work with the homeless, or every year I say I'm going to, like, help the, you know, the ASPCA with animals that don't have homes. And now all those places really need you.
Yes,
they really, really need you. So if that's been your passion in life, this is a grand time for that to really come to the surface and go out there and sort of like do it. So other than some of the things that you have talked about, can you give us just a few tips that you find has really helped different people in this journey?
Oh, yes, I would love to do that. So other than what I've talked about, the first thing I've talked about has been awareness and using your words. Now, these tips are going to sound so simplistic, but I got to tell you that if we're talking about energy, please accept and know that you are just energy and everything. Your next level of good is just vibrating just above your energy level now. So all you need to do is hoist up just a little bit, and you'll reach that level of good in your life. Just to vibrate at that frequency. So one thing that will help you do that is gratitude. And I don't just mean, oh, I'm grateful for this. What I mean when I say gratitude, I'm talking about active gratitude. And the difference is this. Passive gratitude is just making a list of things that you're grateful for. That's nice. You close the notebook up. You go on about your day. But I practice active gratitude. I encourage people to do that. And it's a simple process by writing down the first three things that come on your mind without filter, without, you know, the first three things I do. First thing, I open my wake up in the morning, open my eyes. I grab my dresser drawer right next to my bed, and I pull out an index card and a writing utensil, and I write down the first three things, and I become actively grateful for that. And so this is so important. I want to spend a moment just unpacking this. To become actively grateful for something means that you're going to start shifting energy. And you're going to start shifting energy around anything that showed up in your life. So for me, one of the things that showed up for me last night, late at night, was that my son was very upset with me because I had changed the schedule for him as far as, you know, he's in high school, he's a junior in high school, but they're now being homeschooled because of the coronavirus.
Right.
And I felt that he needed to do some things with limiting his technology. And so I woke up this morning, and that was heavy on me because he was so angry. But I got actively grateful for that. I got actively grateful for the fact that here I have a spirited teenager who can express himself. And here I am still pretty spry, you know, with my mind and my ability to express myself. And I got from the soles of my feet, which are connected to the earth, right? It's through the wood floor, but it's still the earth. I start moving that energy from this and just get really excited about that. And so that's becoming actively grateful. So now I can vibrate at a higher energy. Otherwise, what happens, guys, this is so important. I go through my day, and every time I think about this disagreement with my son, it pulls my energy down. And every time my energy goes down, I'm vibrating at the frequency of something that I don't want. Right? And so that's so important, become actively grateful. So that's one of the things that I do. And then I practice, I talked about awareness and self-talk, but I practice conversations with the universe. And you can call those prayer, you can call it meditation, but I'm just going to call it conversation with the universe because that's what I do all day long. I talk to the universe and I make my needs known, my feelings known. You know, there's a phrase in the Bible that says you have not because you ask not. And even when you ask, your spirit isn't right, meaning that you don't believe, right? So I have conversations with the universe about where I am right now in this moment because it is a way to release, right? I don't want to bottle up energy about what I don't want. So I let it go. I let that go so I can free my insides, my plate, if you will, to be in a receiving mode. And then I look for ways to be of service. I got to spend just a second here. I know we're almost out of town, but I want to talk about how to be in service. I don't want to be in service in a way that drags me down. So, you know, people say give till it hurts. If it hurts, then you are creating an energy pattern around yourself, which is vibrating at a little bit lower frequency than what you want to be. I want to give what I have an abundance of. If that is sometimes in the course of the day, that could just be my peaceful silence, depending on what's going on in my life, so that I don't spew words that have an opposite effect of what I want to have. So sometimes it's my smile, sometimes it's encouraging, but I give abundantly. I ask myself, what is it today, Drayvon, that you have an abundance of that you can give? Love and kindness can be expressed in so many ways. Look for ways to be of service. And when you do that, you increase the energy of which you vibrate at. So those are a few tips that I use. They're very usable. Anybody can do them. You don't need to go change anything about yourself. And that's what I love about the whole everyday peace process is that right now we accept is your most powerful moment. All the power that you need in this moment you possess. We just want to teach you how to use it.
Mm-hmm. Great. That's wonderful. Well, this has been great. It's Dr. Devine James, Everyday Peace, author of Freedom is Your Birthright. And you know how to contact her. You know, you check her out her radio show. It's on Mondays at 5 o'clock EST, 2 p.m. PST. And you can follow some of her wonderful, obviously, insights. And listen, that's why she's a motivational speaker, and that's why she wanted to be one for a really long time. So with that, I think that you didn't maybe end up with your path the way you thought it was, but you actually probably ended up, as you would say, even better than you thought it would be. Is that true?
Yes. You know what? The journey is beautiful, and it's still unfolding, and I'm loving every bit of it.
That's what I said to you. There is no beginning and no end. That's what the circle is about. That's what infinity is about. That's what that whole process is. And it's like, you know, it's always a continued work in process. Thank you. Thank you for being my guest. It was great having you.
Thank you for having me. I've had a great time.
Good. Wonderful. And thank you again. So, everybody, I just want to say, everybody, you know, like, hang in there. I'm thinking thoughts of love for all of you out there. And you know that I will be on Facebook at 7:30 tonight. And again, check out my new webinar that's going to be on April the 14th, Your Intuitive Self During a Crisis. And we'll get into some quite wonderful things in that. I'm actually really looking forward to this webinar. It's been a long time since I've done one of these. So that's pretty, pretty cool. But in any case, As always, keep your thoughts, keep yourself safe. Send much, much love to those wonderful, wonderful, special people that are doing amazing, amazing stuff during this time. And as always, it is my hope and wish that everything you want may be yours.